Now I'd like to introduce to you our guest minister today. We welcome back Cindy Coleman. She is our resource presbyter with the Boston Presbytery, so we welcome her to do our sermon today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you this morning and have an opportunity to worship with you again, as well as be invited to bring you a sermon. I'm going to add an announcement that we just finished setting up for the presbytery. We're having our very first presbytery-wide picnic, August 6th, which is a Sunday afternoon at Broadmeadow Brook, Mass Audubon Park. It's not too far from you. It's the people in downtown Boston get to come our way for once. So it'll be a gathering at 2 o'clock, a little bit of welcome, a brief program about how to become an earth care congregation within the Presbyterian Church. The director of Broadmeadow Brook Mass Audubon site is a ruling elder at the Clinton Church. She's going to do a guided nature walk for us, and we're inviting people to bring food to share. So it's going to be great. Food, fellowship, little tiny bit of education, and a wonderful, wonderful park to enjoy it in. So August 6th, starting around 2:30 p.m., and we should be done by 6. I hope you can make it. It'd be great to see some of you there. So I invite you now to listen for the word of the Lord as we find it in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Powerful God, your words create. You spoke, and stars were flung across the heavens, and life bloomed out of chaos. Your word became flesh to dwell among us, living with us, showing us your love, showing us how to follow your ways. And now, through the gift of your Holy Spirit, we have your words spoken fresh among us this day. May they be words of power in our lives. May your word pierce to our hearts and sing in our bones and give us strength to be faithful. Speak your word, we pray, and give us courage and faith to follow. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So you may remember some of Abraham's story. He was the father of our faith. In fact, the father of the three faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, as the father of Isaac and Ishmael. But Abraham was a wandering man. He didn't have a home of his own. And in fact, if you remember some of the stories from Deuteronomy and Exodus, they were reminded, your father was a wandering Aramean. He didn't have a place yet. In fact, it was as an old man that God first came to Abraham and said, walk before me. I will be your God. You will be my people. And I will establish you. Look out at this place. I will give you all this land. But Abraham didn't live to realize that dream. Isaac didn't live to realize that dream. It wasn't until Moses took the people out of slavery in Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and 40 years of wandering in the desert that that promise became a reality. Abraham was a man without a home. He was a wanderer. He was a stranger. Always in a strange land, always seeking out God's blessing, always trying to be faithful to the one who had called him. And so we see him now, at rest in a period of his wanderings. He's put up his tent. He and Sarah have made a place for now, for themselves, and they're wondering what will be next. He's already had Ishmael with his wife's servant girl, Hagar, and they're waiting for what God will reveal to them, waiting to see how God's promises will unfold for them. And it's in that kind of waiting time, as they are strangers in another person's country, that Abraham looks up in the heat of the day and sees these three strangers who have approached, who have stopped, who seem to be looking at him. He was probably caught in a reverie, wondering what would be next and not really paying attention until he looks up and these three men are there. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure my first response would have been Abraham's response. I think my first response would have been, oh, you startled me. Can I help you? Do you need directions? Can I tell you where the nearest hotel is? Can I help you find, I don't know, a taxi right here under the oaks of Mamre? I'm not sure my first response would have been, come. Let me get some water. Rest a while. It's a hot day. I will prepare a meal for you. I, of course, being everyone else in the house. I don't think that would have been my go-to response, my immediate instinct upon looking up and seeing strangers standing in front of me. But for whatever reason, it was Abraham's first instinct. Maybe because he was a stranger. Maybe because he had relied on the kindness of other people as he had traveled through their lands. Maybe he just had a more generous heart than me. But his first response was welcome. Come, stay a while. Let me do some things to make you comfortable, to refresh you for wherever your journey may be taking you. Stay with me for a little bit. Abraham doesn't know these men. We do, because we know the end of the story. We know that they're visitors from God. We know that the three in Christian thought represent the Trinity. But Abraham doesn't know that. All he knows are three men are standing in front of him in the heat of the day in this place. So he goes and gets water so they can wash their feet, which was a common symbol of hospitality in those days and in that place. Because after all, you were walking everywhere and your feet got dusty and sore and dirty. So the symbol of hospitality is brought. He asks Sarah, his wife, to make them some fresh bread. He goes and slaughters a calf and has someone prepare it for them. This is not just a little bit. This is not, have a cup of water and then you can be on your way. This is a full welcome. This is intending for them to stay a while. I am not personally a butcher. I do not raise livestock, but I have seen animals butchered, and it's not fast. I mean, they just went and butchered a calf. That takes some time. And then to prepare the meat and the bread and to serve it, this is not a quick stop along the way. This is not off the highway, use the facilities, get back on the road. They were there for time. They were welcomed in that space. Abraham did that because it was his instinct. Do you think he expected anything? Do you think he thought, if I do all of these things, if I go above and beyond, then surely I will receive something wonderful in return? Do you think he thought that way? There's no evidence that he did. There's no evidence that that was part of his internal monologue, and the Bible gives us lots of internal monologue along the way. There's no evidence that he expected anything except that he would bless others, welcoming them into the space that he was calling his own for a little while. And he got a surprise in return, didn't he? In return for his welcome blessings poured out without reserve, without counting the cost, he received in return a welcome blessing. Something that he and Sarah had longed for, literally 4 years. After all, they're 99 or so at this point in their lives. They had been waiting and hoping for years to have a child together. That's why they went through a traditional route with one of Sarah's serving girls. They were hoping to bear a son. After all, God had promised it. You will bear a child in your old age. They were waiting. So here, after pouring out these blessings, after pouring out this welcome, they receive in return a timeline to that promise. No longer open-ended, no longer someday at the appropriate time in the fullness of God's pleasure, but no, a timeline, a year from now, surely a year from now, I will return to you. And your wife Sarah will have a son. Unexpected, don't you think? Given Sarah's response as she was listening in, can't you picture it? Here she's been told to go make this bread and provide this food, and she's listening in. What is going on out there? Who are these people that my husband has welcomed and given all this stuff to? What is happening? So she hears this promise. Surely a year from now I'll return and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. And you know her response. It's the basic basis of that son's name, Sarah laughed. Really? Come on. Who are these people to make such an outlandish promise? I am old. My husband is old. Come on. But out of the welcoming, God's promises become manifest. God's blessings become tangible. And you know what happened. Oh yes, a year later, there was a son named Isaac, based on the words for laughter. There are so many stories in the Bible, from cover to cover, about welcoming and hospitality. There are so many stories about people who are strangers and foreigners in a land and looking for help and assistance and finding welcome. This story of Abraham and Sarah is just one of many. I could ask you to name a few, but I don't know. You seem quiet. You know, think about Elijah. And he went to a foreign land and asked for shelter. Bake me a little bread. And the oil and meal never ran out. That welcome and hospitality. Think of Ruth. Ruth, who herself was a foreigner, who was the daughter-in-law of a woman who came from another land to Moab. Ruth, who followed her mother-in-law and became a stranger herself and found welcome by Boaz and is named in Jesus's genealogy. Think of Esther. Esther, who was raised up as queen, where again the Jewish people were the foreigners in that land, and Esther speaking on their behalf so they would not be wiped out. And then, of course, in the New Testament, probably one of the famous favorite stories that Jesus told, one of his parables, right? Can you think of it? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, about welcoming, about extending a blessing to someone who is a wayfarer and in need. And of course, the moral of that story is that it's the stranger, the Samaritan, the outsider, who extends the blessing. As Paul and Peter and the early apostles went and traveled through Asia and through what was Europe, they were welcomed. And they began churches in each place where someone said, "Come, sit with me for a while. I want to hear this gospel. I want to hear this good news. Tell me about the way of Jesus." And in fact, Jesus told the disciples when he sent them out in pairs, he said, "Wherever you are welcomed, let your peace rest upon that house. Stay there. Preach, heal, bring peace. And if you are not welcomed, well, remove your peace." And that famous phrase, "Shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town." These are just a few of the stories of welcoming, of being people who throw open our hearts, throw open our doors, throw open our resources in order to bless others along the way. Like Abraham, we live in this place for a little while, but this is not our home. This is not where we are headed. Like Abraham, we are relying instead on God's promises for a future place where all things will be well and good and according to God's will. Like Abraham, we're longing for the day of those promises being fulfilled. And so here we are sojourners, we are travelers in this land. It is not ours to cling to. but instead a place where God has planted us for a time in order that we may be blessings to others, in order that we may share the love that we have received, in order that we, like Abraham, can throw open our doors, not count the cost, and extend welcome blessings to others. You know this as a congregation. You know what this is like, because the ministry you have through Piece of Bread is just this kind of thing. Your doors open, the tables spread, and the people coming being welcomed and blessed. But I know that every one of you that has been active with that ministry, every one of you would say the blessings you have received in return are greater than any of the blessings you have shared. Am I right? That's how God works. When we open our hearts, when we open our doors, when we look up and notice the people around us and we say, come, let me get you some water to refresh you. Come, let me spread a table so we can share a meal, which of course is where we gather as followers of our Lord and Savior. Come, come, let me make a place for you to be for a while. No hurry, no rush, no... anytime now. When we do that, we may be giving blessings, but the blessings we receive in response are greater by far. As a congregation, you know this, and I hope in your lives, as individuals and as families, you know this as well. I hope you all have times and opportunities where you look up and there are people there, hopefully not surprising you and shocking you, but people who could use a word of welcome, could use a word of kindness, could use a word of blessing. And that even if that's not your first instinct, like it probably isn't for me, that you're able to get to the better place. Past the shock, past the surprise, past the hesitation, maybe even past fear. And instead, like Abraham, say welcome. Be welcomed by home. Be welcome to this place. Be welcome in this time. Be welcome. Let me bless you. And then just be ready for how God will bless you in return. This is how our God works. Welcome blessings. When we open ourselves up, and then when God responds with more abundance than we know how to hold on to. Amen.